Today is the 11th Sunday after Pentecost, and the readings are from Isaiah chapter 56, verses 1 and 6 through 8, from the book of Romans chapter 11, verses 1 to 2a, verses 13 through 15, and 28 through 32, and also from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 15, beginning at verse 21 through 28. Today's message is titled, Crumbs from the Master's Table. Hear the word of God from Isaiah chapter 56, beginning at verse 1. This is what the Lord says, maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Continuing now at verse 6. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to serve him, to love the name of the Lord and to worship him, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and all and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The Sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered. Hear from Romans chapter 11. I ask then, did God reject his people? By no means. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. God did not reject his people, whom he foreknew. Jumping to verse 13. I am talking to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles. I make much of my ministry in the hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and save some of them. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? Jumping to verse 28. As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies on your account. But as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs. For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. Just as you who were at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, so they too have now become disobedient, in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound all men over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. Now the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, beginning of verse 21. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered, Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted, and her daughter was healed from that very hour. Here ends the gospel of the Lord. Again, the sermon is titled, Crumbs from the Master's Table. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, I begin with a prayer from the 4th century liturgy of St. Chrysostom. Let us pray. Lord, God of inconceivable power, incomprehensible glory, immeasurable mercy, unspeakable kindness, look on us in your tender love and show your rich mercy and compassion to us and those who pray with us. Amen. I want you to think. Begin by thinking. For when you think of God, when you picture God in your mind, do these words come first in your thoughts? Tender love, immeasurable mercy, unspeakable kindness, compassion. Yes, compassion. Do these words paint the picture of the living God that you have in your thoughts and in your heart? If not, I pray this day the Lord etches these word descriptors indelibly in your mind and in your heart. For I desire you to deeply see, I deeply desire you to know the Lord God is tender love, immeasurable mercy, loving kindness overflowing, and compassionate. Picture yourself with a puppy. Picture yourself with a puppy, nothing like a new puppy in the household, wanting to do everything for that puppy. Even when that puppy has an oops during housebreaking, compassion and gentleness and loving kindness are expressed even as you clean up that yucky mess. Growing up in a family, my family had many different pets throughout the years. The first memories of pets that I recall is when we were living in Page Manor down in Dayton by the Air Force Base. It was the middle of 1960s. I had a cat named Bootsy with white boots on each paw. That's why the name Bootsy. My older brother had a cat named Smokey. For this, his cat was a solid, all smoky gray color. That experience of cats did not last very long. My cat got out of the house and ran away, never came back. I don't remember what happened to Smokey. I think, I may be wrong, but I think is when we had to give him away because we were transferred down to Maxwell Air Force Base in Montgomery, Alabama for staff officer school known as SOS. And the assignment was for a short 3 months or so, and no pets would be allowed in the housing that we'd be staying in. We moved back up to Bowie, Maryland from there, up to Bowie, Maryland, and the next couple attempts of pets were with hamsters. Those weren't successful either. Now, our first dog joined the family just a short while later, and it was mostly black, mixed breed, and a small dog. We named the dog Snoopy. Snoopy didn't make it for this very long either. What happened is we had to travel to Chicago to visit my dad's brother's family. The dog did not agree with my mom's allergies, and riding in the car traveling, the dog was just too hyper to travel with us. We found a new home for Snoopy in Chicago. Then about 1972, our first poodle joined us. Cinnamon was our poodle's name. Her hair color was that apricot brown, giving the impression of that spiced cinnamon. I mean, she was a miniature poodle. Cinnamon chose my brother. Yeah, my older brother to be his dog, and I was jealous. My parents then found a toy poodle. A person was given a toy poodle away, about the same age as Cinnamon, and so we received her in our family, and I named her Precious, and she was precious to me. And I got the idea of Precious. Do any of you remember the Hanna-Barbera Productions cartoon, Precious Pup? Do you remember the Precious Pup cartoon? Well, that's where I got the idea of Precious. Late 60s, early 70s, the Precious Pup cartoon was on TV. So my dog was Precious. And she slept on my bed with me. She was my dog. And these two poodles, we had them for many, many years. And many years later, my younger brother, younger sister wanted a dog that they could call their own. So another poodle joined the family. We named Nutmeg, keeping in the Spice family names. And for a number of years, we had all three. What a group of poodles they were. Nutmeg was a male, so we had two spayed females and the male. And for a number of years, all three, they were a joy, but then Cinnamon left us first. She was only 10 years old, having health challenges. My Precious made it to 18 years old. Nutmeg made it to 12 years, a little after Precious gone. We still had Nutmeg. But then, there was a while, there was no pets in the house. So my mom and I, we drove over to East Palestine, Ohio. just outside of Youngstown, Ohio, from Canton. We went there to choose a puppy from a breeder of miniature poodles. And picking in person a poodle puppy from the litter, that's the best way to do it. And a cute little girl miniature poodle we selected, and we gave her a good Norwegian girl's name, Kjersti. She was to keep my mom company. She was to be my mom's dog. However, this poodle chose me and became my dog. On the way back from East Palestine, as we drove through Alliance, Ohio, we stopped at Mount Union, went up to Heather's dorm. I gave her room a ring, and I told her to come down. I have a surprise for you to see. Next thing Heather knows, she had in her lap a miniature poodle puppy as she sat in the back of the car as we drove home to my parents' house in Canton, Ohio. If you ask her, Heather remembers that day. Well, a short year later, Kjersti came to live in my house. As soon as I bought a house, my mom said, here's the dog. Here's Kjersti. I bought that house in Dover, and a couple months later, Heather and I were married. Heather, being a lifelong cat person, got me and my poodle, Kjersti. That's another story for another time, is how the two cats came to be a part of the family. Kjersti made it to 17 or so years. And now it's been several years our home's been out without any pets. Marissa wants a dog. I'm sure many of you heard that. Aria wants a cat. The house is quiet without a pet. We'll see what God does. Now, I share this image with you because it's the image we have in the Gospel of Matthew today. It's a very familiar image in my home for most of my life. Every time someone sat down to eat at the table, under the table soon all the poodles would come. And when the cats were the house, they would be under the table too, oftentimes hoping for something to fall to the floor, crumbs from the table. Honestly, there are times my sibling and I would give a prize morsel to our pets. Well, it was to the chagrin of my dad. My mom oftentimes would give prize morsels once in a while too. I'm sure anyone who's had a pet has that same experience. Sit down to eat, soon under the table, the pets appear, and just about everybody can relate to this situation of reaching down and giving your precious pet a morsel, a crumb from the table. That's the power of this word picture Jesus uses in Matthew, that Matthew records in his gospel. But I want to back up a moment to just remind you the context of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew primarily wrote his gospel for a Jewish audience. And that is important to grab hold of. As Matthew is writing to these people with a Jewish background and Jewish understanding, here in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus has an encounter with a non-Jewish person. When Matthew tells them and us this woman was a Canaanite, an emotional response would rise in the Jewish listener. As the Gospel of Matthew is being read out loud to the Jewish audience listening, very likely when you reach this point, the woman was a Canaanite, you hear an audible gasp through the crowd. As this Gospel of Matthew is being read aloud to the gathered community of faith, whispers and other gasps very likely would spread because the reason Jewish people really did not have interactions with the Canaanites, with Gentiles, especially Canaanite women. Jesus had intentionally taken his disciples out of the region of Galilee to the northwest into the region of Tyre and Sidon, a Roman region. And this helps us know that in this region there's people worshiping gods of the Roman cults and all the other false gods, to let us know that they're in an area that is not Jewish or that land at all. And in this land of foreign worshipers comes a woman crying, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. On and on she keeps crying, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. She is begging for mercy on her so that her daughter would be healed. Her daughter was under the power of an evil spirit. Jesus ignores her. He ignores her. And she keeps crying on and on and on and on. Think on this. Jesus ignores her. What is Jesus doing? Is this Jesus being indifferent to the suffering of this woman and her daughter? Indifferent till he gets tired of her constant calling? Some people like to give that impression of this. But it's not the case. Jesus is drawing her, and Jesus is drawing his disciples to prepare them to learn a lesson, a very important lesson. And this lesson for them to learn, it would take years to sink in. The lesson is this: the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus, of forgiveness of sin and new life in his name, is for all people, not just for the Jews. The gospel is for the Gentiles too, for all people. Jesus is drawing this teaching moment out of this woman and his disciples. But for the moment, Jesus responds to his disciples. He was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. A better translation, the NIV, is this: I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus is the Messiah of the house of Israel, as was promised long ago, was promised from the get-go, from the earliest of times, that Abraham was set apart to become the nation of Israel. The Messiah was promised to come for them. And beginning with that long history and deep, rich understanding of the written word contained in the scrolls of Scripture would be the people to have an understanding of the promised fulfilled. Jesus is the Messiah. But that does not mean Jesus came only for the Jewish people. And that is the lesson that's being drawn out here in Matthew chapter 15. Jesus came to bring salvation to all people. And I'll show you from Isaiah and Romans chapter 11 a bit later. After giving his disciples an answer, basically saying, just ignore her, don't send her away. In other words, let the moment unfold. And the woman comes closer and closer and then falls down at Jesus' feet. The NIV translation has the woman came and knelt. That word knelt does not carry the rich, deep meaning Matthew is writing here. The Greek word Matthew used literally means to kiss the ground before superior. It means to fall prostrate in a position of worship. This Canaanite woman was calling Jesus by that messianic title, Son of David, and now is at the feet in an act of worship before Jesus as she asks for help. And that word help in the Greek, it carries an urgency. Come rescue! Quickly respond to an urgent need. If she had a phone back then, she'd pull it out of pocket and dial 911. Get help right now. Intense distress is present. An immediate rescue is needed. That's really what that word help means. Intense distress is present. Immediate rescuing is needed. Her daughter is demon possessed. Waste no time. Rescue her now. Deliver her. Now, right now. That's the urgency I want you to get of this mother's plea. That's the urgency present in that word. Lord, help me. There's an exclamation point in the Greek for the punctuation too. Lord, help me. Then comes this word picture. A story written in words of a dog and a master's table. You don't take the children's bread to feed to the dogs. And the woman responds in wisdom and faith, the dogs get to eat the crumbs from the master's table. Did you notice Jesus spoke of bread? The word picture was the bread of the children. Jesus could easily have just as said the meat of the children or the fish of the children, but Jesus said bread. Perhaps that's to draw out the reality. Jesus is the bread of life. The bread of life for the children. Yes, even the crumbs from the master's table are the bread of life. Now, many have said that by using this image, this story of a dog at a master's table and under the master's table, they've used that to say, well, Jesus is basically calling her a dog. I don't agree with that interpretation. Just because Jesus is using a word picture here does not mean Jesus is referring to her as a dog. And the Canaanite woman's response does not mean she is acknowledging being called a dog and agreeing with being called a dog. Jesus is using a word picture, just like the parables are word pictures, to teach heavenly things with earthly pictures. This Canaanite woman in wisdom and in faith, responding similarly with a word picture. Jesus used a word picture that is a bread and a dog. She responds with a complimentary word picture of breadcrumbs and a dog. There's no reason to infer nor surmise Jesus calling her a dog and she accepting that designation. For even dogs get crumbs from the master's table. There's something for the dogs. There's something for her needs too. She's saying, there's something for me. And Jesus' answer shows us in Matthew chapter 15, verse 28. Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. The woman has mega faith. The Greek word here is megas, meaning large, great, in the widest sense of greatness. A Canaanite woman with great, with mega faith. Perhaps more gaps would come from the Jewish audience as they're hearing this portion of Matthew chapter 15 being read to them. As Jesus answers the woman that she has demonstrated great faith, that mega faith, and Jesus heals her daughter as she desires. That word translated as desires is very rich in meaning too. This woman came to Jesus with this desire for her daughter to be healed from demon possession. She came to the one she knew could actually fulfill her desire of freeing her daughter. The Greek word translated as desire is commonly used of the Lord extending his best offer to the believer, wanting, that is desiring, to birth his persuasion in them, that is to birth faith in them. In this foreigner, as Mark writes in his gospel, this Gentile Syrophoenician woman, Matthew wrote this Canaanite woman, both wrote, faith is in her. Faith in her. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This gospel is for the Gentiles. He has chosen, in verse 27 of Colossians chapter 1, translated has chosen, is that same word desire, as translated in Matthew chapter 15, verse 28. The faith Jesus speaks of in the Canaanite woman is the faith that God desires to be in the Gentiles too. God will birth this faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He will birth this faith in the Gentiles, in Canaanites, in other words, all across the world. The foreshadow of this reality is written about in Isaiah chapter 56. The New International Version translation of the Bible helps with this understanding and has titled this portion of Isaiah 56 as Salvation for Others. Through the prophet Isaiah, the Lord promises to bring the foreigners into his people. The Lord will not exclude them. On the contrary, the Lord will bring in the foreigners. That word foreigner is used here in Isaiah in the same way as the word Gentile is used in the New Testament, meaning someone who is not Jewish. You are a foreigner if you are not a Jew. You are a Gentile if you are not a Jew. God is promising through his prophet Isaiah that there will come a time when the foreigner, the non-Jew, will be brought into God's family. The last portion of Isaiah 56, verse 5 declares, I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off. Verse 6 says, God declares he'll bring them to his holy mountain, accept their offerings on the altar, welcoming them in the house for the Lord's house would be called a house of prayer for all nations. Now I want you to compare the meaning of Isaiah 56 verse 8 and the Gospel of John chapter 10 verse 16. I'm going to read the two verses back to back. Isaiah 56 verse 8. The sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered. Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Do you hear The meaning is the same there, bringing them together as one. And that's the point that Paul, the Apostle Paul, is making in Romans chapter 11. God has not rejected his chosen people, Israel. Paul is hoping that somehow through his ministry to the Gentiles, seeing what God is doing through the gospel of Jesus Christ in the hearts and lives of the Gentiles, his own people would believe Jesus is the Christ, their Messiah, the Son of God. That through what has taken place in these people's lives, that God's mercy would flow with God having mercy on all people in all places, to the Jew, to the Gentile, with God being Lord over all in Christ as the Redeemer and Savior of all. We find in Romans chapter 11 this fascinating verse, "For God's gift and his call are irrevocable." That means God's redeeming work in Christ is complete, and your salvation through Christ by grace through faith is fully accomplished. And the Lord will not change his mind. Just as the Jewish people are and always will be the chosen people of God, you will always be a child of God because of the redeeming work of Christ when you confess Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You will be a child of God. And this is irrevocable. So I want you to take yourself back to your childhood. Place yourself at the family table and remember that oh-so-cute little puppy dog you dearly loved that was scurrying under your table for any morsel, for any crumb that fell from the table. Remember the love you had for your little puppy was so great that scurrying for a crumb wouldn't do. You carefully, like in cloak and dagger fashion, in secrecy, you would provide a choice crumb for your puppy that you loved so much. And remember the joy? Can you just recall the joy of your puppy finding your fingers and starting to lick away as she grabs that crumb from your finger that you so lovingly gave? Do you remember those times? Do you remember those moments? How much more? How much more your Father in heaven loves you? How much more that immeasurable mercy will be shown to you? How much more will you be looked upon with loving kindness, just overflowing? How much more will the Father, the Lord our God, have compassion on you? For freely offered to you is more than crumbs from the Master's table. Offered to you freely is grace. Grace through the finished work of Christ on the cross. You are given much more than crumbs. You're given the very bread of life. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let that sink in. How much God loves you. Loves you so much that he brought you into his family. Matthew 15, this Canaanite woman expressing great faith. You remember your puppy dog from your childhood, how much you loved it and how much you wanted to just feed that dog from under the table. Remember those things. And then how much more your Father in heaven loves you. So God will get us through these days that we're facing. The uncertainty of coronavirus, beginning college, what's happening down at Cedarville and other things. Just wondering what schools will look like, teaching look like, sports will look like. What will the coming days, months look like? It'll be okay. How much more the Father loves us. He gave his Son to be the bread of life. The Lord will bring healing. The Lord will rescue us. The Lord will set us free, because this is what we desire. And just as that Gentile Canaanite woman had her desires met by Christ because she had great faith, brother and sister in Christ, together in faith, Let us just trust God will take care of us. He loves us and will see us through. Healing grace is coming. Healing grace is here. Amen and amen.